Our scripture reading is Romans 15, 7 through 13. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, and the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and the peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
So let's turn to our gospel lesson. The scripture lesson is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. You can follow it on the screen. You can follow it in the Pew Bible, which starts on page 27 in the New Testament. And if you're able, out of our tradition, let's stand for the gospel. Hear these words. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away, and the one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, you wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested your money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I am giving a Thanksgiving sermon, but it's not titled Thanksgiving Sermon. So, and it's more of a question. And the question is, what should be the focus of Christians on Thanksgiving? Well, we have to go back a little bit to find the answer. So, let's start off from the beginning. You know, the original Thanksgiving celebration was held by the Pilgrim settlers in Massachusetts during their second winter in America in December 1621. That first winter had killed 44 of the original 102 colonists. At one point, their daily food ration was down to 5 kernels of corn. But then, an unexpected trading vessel arrived, swapping down beaver pelts for grain, providing for their severe need. The next summer crop brought hope, and the governor, William Bradford, decreed that December 13, 1621, be set aside as a day of feasting and prayer to show the gratitude of the colonists that they were still alive. These pilgrims, seeking religious freedom and opportunity in America, gave thanks to God for His provision for them in helping them find 20 acres of cleared land, for the fact that there were no hostile Indians in that area, for their newfound religious freedom, and for God's provision of an interpreter to the Indians in Squanto. Along with feastings and games involving the colonists and more than 80 friendly Indians who added to the feast by bringing wild turkeys and venison, prayers and sermons and songs and praise were important in the celebration. 3 days were spent in feasting and prayer. From that time forward, Thanksgiving has been celebrated as a day to give thanks to God for His gracious and sufficient provision. President Abraham Lincoln officially set aside the last Thursday of November in 1863 as a day of thanksgiving and praise of our beneficent Father. In 1941, Congress ruled that after 1941, the fourth Thursday of November be observed as Thanksgiving Day and be a legal holiday. Scripturally, we find things related to the issue of Thanksgiving nearly from cover to cover. Individuals offering up sacrifices out of gratitude in the book of Genesis. The Israelites sang a song of thanksgiving as they were delivered from Pharaoh's army after the crossing of the Red Sea, Exodus 15. Later, the Mosaic law set aside 3 times each year for the Israelites were to gather together. All 3 of these times, unleavened bread, also called the Feast of Passover, Exodus 12:15-20, the harvest of Pentecost, Leviticus 23:15-21, and I'm just throwing these out there so you guys can do some homework, and the Feast of Ingathering or tabernacles took place specifically in relationship to God's provision in the harvest of various fruits and crops. The book of Psalms is packed full of songs of thanksgiving, both for God's grace to the Israelite people as a whole through his mighty deeds, as well as for his individual graces to each of us. In the New Testament, there are repeated admonitions to give thanks to God. Thanksgiving is to always be a part of our prayers. Some of the most remembered passages on giving of thanks are the following. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. How are we doing on that? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Anxiety is pretty tough nowadays, eh? Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Of all God's gifts, the greatest one he has given is the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid our sin debt, so a holy and just judge could forgive us our sins and give us eternal life as a free gift. This gift is available to those who will call on Christ to save them from their sin in simple but sincere faith. For this gift of his Son, the gift which meets our greatest need, the Apostle Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We, like the pilgrims, have a choice. In life, there will always be those things we can complain about. The pilgrims had lost many loved ones. But there will also be much to be thankful for as our society becomes increasingly secular. The actual giving of thanks to God during our annual Thanksgiving holiday is being overlooked, leaving only the feasting. May God grant that he may find us grateful every day for all of his gifts, spiritual and material. God is good, and amen. And every good gift comes from him. James chapter 1, verse 17. For those who know Christ, God also works everything together for good, even events we would not necessarily consider good. May he find us to be his grateful children. Amen.